Amen. Thank you so much for the singing. I hope that this time has really prepared your heart to hear the Word of God. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We've been going through this book, looking at the assurances that John gives us that we are actually in Christ. And Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 30 says this. God says, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Now, that is really a good description of the Antichrist heretics that John warns about in 1 John chapter 2. We have seen that these heretics are folks that come into an assembly. Oftentimes they will create some sort of distraction. They'll sow some kind of seeds of discord. And then what do? They end up leaving. Their leaving, as John says, is a manifestation, verse 19, of the fact that they weren't really with us. They don't have the same relationship to God. They're not part of the same spiritual family. And this is emphasized even more when we look at another characteristic. You look at verse 22, where it says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father. Now these are liars. They deny the Son of God, and as verse 26 says, this is also characteristic of these people. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduced you. And so these are people who leave, they lie, and even after they've left, they still try to seduce. That is, they still try to draw away the people of God from the truth. Now, John is writing this as an encouragement. These are things that that can be expected in the life of a church that is trying to live for God. As we try to live for God, you can count on it. There'll be opposition. The enemy of God, the devil, does not like it when a church is trying to serve the Lord. And so he will bring about opposition in some way. And John is talking here about these heretics, these antichrists. The gates of hell, praise the Lord, may not be able to prevail against the church, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to try, right? So we've got to be aware of this. We shouldn't be surprised by it, and we certainly shouldn't be discouraged by it, but we need to be on guard about these things. Okay, so what do we have then at our disposal to aid us in this battle? We're in this battle where we're being opposed. What resources do we have to fight against these things? There is this conflict where heretics who embrace the spirit of Antichrist are wanting to distort the truth. They want to divide the church. And again, remember, this is an evidence of your spiritual connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that there are those out there who want to oppose us for nothing more, really, ultimately, than identifying with the name of Jesus, those things are an indication of our relationship to Him. But praise the Lord, He hasn't left us to fend for ourselves in dealing with this conflict. There are resources available that God has given to us. If you're a child of God, He has given you resources to deal with this conflict between truth and lies. We live in a world where the world is trying to distort the truth. Christians have a resource to be able to know the truth. And the first one is mentioned in verse 20 of 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 20. John writes, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, the first word of verse 20 highlights a contrast for us, doesn't it? Yes, there are people who have this spirit of Antichrist. They are going to try to deceive you. They are going to try to lead you astray. They are going to be very, very persuasive. and they will be convincing. But, verse 20, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be duped by them. You don't have to be led astray. You don't have to fall to their seductions. Why? Because you have been given something by someone. Be encouraged. We have been given something by someone that will help us in this conflict of truth and lies. Well, what is the something? Well, it's an unction. Have you ever had an unction? Let me ask you this. Are you presently using your unction? As you ask those questions of yourself, you might also ask, what in the world is an unction? Do I have one? Well, it says we've been given one. Well, it will help us to look in verse 27, because John uses the same exact Greek word, but it's translated differently in verse 27. Look at verse 27 and look at the third word in verse 27. John says, but the anointing. That's our word. And actually, that's the definition of the word unction also. So this unction is an anointing which we've been given. But really, we're really not sure still what it is, right? I mean, it's an unction. It's an anointing. Now, the root word for our word anointing and unction is the Greek word krio. Now, I'm going to ask you to really follow me here. So it may get a little bit technical, and I don't want to lose you because I think it's interesting. But this word krio, it means to rub or smear, and it refers to the action of putting oil on a person to consecrate them for the service of the Lord. So krio is a verb. It means to anoint. Our word unction is a noun. And here, unction is the Greek word chrisma. It refers to the substance used to anoint. Okay? Now, in the illustration I just gave, that would be the oil. All right? So, krio is the action of anointing. Chrisma is the thing anointed with. All right? So, you would anoint with an anointing substance. You would krio with a chrisma. You follow me? Know what another word is that is with this root? Christos. Do you know what Christos is? It's Christ, right? But what is the meaning of the word Christ? Anointed one. Are you still with me? What John is saying in verse 20 is that believers have been given, or they have been anointed with, this unction, chrisma. But what is it? Well, the end of verse 20 tells us that it has something to do with knowledge, right? Look at the end of verse 20. He says, and ye know all things. So this unction helps us with some kind of knowledge. That's what he's telling us. Well, what knowledge is he talking about? Well, what has John been talking about from the beginning of this book? Right? Look at verse 1. Just turn back, or you may not even have to turn the page. But look at verse 1 of chapter 1. John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of what? The word of life. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ, right? The word of life. And what John has been showing us thus far are the evidences of our relationship to him, the characteristics of those who oppose him, those things concerning Christ are the knowledge that he's talking about at the end of verse 20. These things concerning Christ. They know all things about those things, okay? Because of what? Because of this unction. Are you still with me? Because of this unction. Now, John gives us more insight in verse 27 when he says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So this unction, this anointing, is again, follow me, is something that is given to us. And he adds here, it's something that abides in us. And this thing also teaches us. Now, it becomes clear as you look at this even closer that this unction is not an it at all, is it? This unction is a he. It's a someone that we're given. It's someone who abides in us. It's someone who teaches us. Now, folks, who is that? Well, I'm going to ask you to turn back with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Look at John chapter 14. We're going to look at several passages before we get back to 1 John chapter 2. And as we read these passages, what I want you to look for are words like give, or abide, or dwell, or teach. Look at those words in this context. But John chapter 14, you know this passage. The very first verse, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And as you may recall, Jesus had told them that he was going away. And now he was trying to encourage them. He tells them that he's going to come back for them, that they'll do greater works than he did. And then he says this in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you." Now look at verse 26 of John chapter 14. Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, jump over to John chapter 16. Maybe one page for you. John chapter 16, Jesus says in verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now look at verse 13. He says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Now, on our way back to 1 John chapter 2, let's take a quick stop at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is kind of lengthy, but I'm trying to make a point about what John is talking about in 1 John 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, Paul writes this. He says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. That is a wonderful passage. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And now one more page over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 19, where Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now let's go back to 1 John chapter 2. With all those things in mind, folks, all of those verses, look again at verse 20, where John says, but ye have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Again, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So, folks, this unction that we have been given, it abides in us. He teaches us. This unction, this anointing is the Holy Spirit given to us, verse 20, by whom? By the Holy One. Who is the Holy One referring to in this context? It's referring to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One. He is the one that sent the Comforter. Do you remember? He said, I have to go. If I don't go, I can't send the Comforter. When I go, I will send him. So the Holy One here is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I am one that I'm kind of a language geek when it comes to things like this. But this is really a very interesting play on words. And this is one of those times when you can see the play on words both in the English and in the Greek. Now, why do we have a play on words? Play on words, folks, are used as emphasis. They help us to emphasize certain things, right? You'll use a play on words. For instance, we'll use the little phrase, whenever you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for, right? So that's kind of a play on words to help us to remember that little ditty. Well, this is kind of a play on words, and so hopefully you can follow me. If you were reading this in the Greek, these words would really stand out for you to give attention to. And so what he's saying in verse 20 and in verse 27 is that believers, now listen, I'm going to use the Greek phrase first, okay? I'm going to use the Greek words. Believers have been creoed with this chrisma from Christos to defeat Antichristoi. All right, so you would see in those words the similar use of the form of the verb creo, right? Well, in English, because of the wording, it's kind of the same too. Because in English, what he's saying here is that we have been anointed with an anointing by the anointed one to defeat the opposers of the anointed one. And so you would read this and you would say, wow, all of this anointed thing, it's to emphasize the greatness of what he has done for us. Now, folks, don't underestimate the power of this great resource that you have as a believer in Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful truth that believers can take refuge in. You can receive strength and encouragement just by understanding this. This is a foundational truth where we can find peace and we can find rest in. You know, when you really, really consider what John has been talking about concerning these antichrists and their fervor and their diligence to try to deceive and divide, it really can be disturbing. It can cause you to wonder, well, who can I trust? Who can't I trust? How do I know that I'm not being deceived? We might think, how can I keep from being deceived by someone who is so persuasive and so bent on trying to deceive me? How can I tell if somebody really is trying to lead me astray? And the tendency for us sometimes, if we're not careful, is that we may become a little paranoid. And we may even become a little afraid. But that usually happens when we tend to lean on our own understanding. Why do we do that? Well, we understand that we have limitations, right? If you're humble, you understand you have limitations. We grow tired. Our Bible knowledge is limited. And one of the hardest things for us is that we can't read people's minds, right? We can only respond to what people say, not knowing what their true motives are. How can we ever stand against the wiles of the heretics? How can we ever stand against the deception of the Antichrist when we are so limited? Well, rest in this. You have been given a resource to abide in you that will teach you all things. And guess what? He is not limited. He is all-powerful, and He is all-knowing. He knows all truth. And this is what the Spirit of God does for us. Rest in this. He will reveal to you error. He will give you discernment, even with your own limitations. He does that. I read a story not too long ago by H.A. Ironside. H.A. Ironside was a powerful preacher of the Word of God. And Ironside tells a story of how he was in a park. And back in the day, they would have these gatherings where people would get up and they would preach. They would teach their philosophies, their religions. And a man was up there preaching. And Ironside realized right away that he was preaching false doctrine. He was preaching the doctrine of a popular cult. And as he was looking around the crowd, he noticed a young man who had recently gotten saved. And this young man was listening intently to this man. And so after the man was finished preaching and the crowd was starting to disperse, Ironside went up to this young man afterward and he asked him what he thought of the preaching. And at first the young man said, well, he really told us, didn't he? But then he said this, although I don't know much of the Bible, as I listened to that man the whole time he was preaching, there was something inside of me that kept saying, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. And folks, what was happening is that the Holy Spirit was teaching that new believer in Jesus Christ that what he was hearing, even though it was mixed with Bible, was in fact a lie. And let me tell you something. He does that for you, and he does that for me too, today. And he'll do it every day. Now, wouldn't it make sense then for us to walk in the Spirit? Wouldn't it make sense then for us to be filled with the Spirit? To never ever grieve the Spirit of God so that we can have clear communication with the Spirit? That's what it takes. When he's trying to teach us the truth, when he's trying to warn us about error, folks, we need to be in tune to him. That means that we have to be walking in him. We can't be fulfilling the lusts of our flesh and expect to have this kind of discernment from the Spirit of God. Yes, we are limited, but praise God, he's not. You know, folks, God doesn't play tricks with his children. God will always be forthright with all of us. You ask for discernment, you can count on it. God is going to give it to you. We're told in Proverbs 16 that if we'll commit our ways to the Lord. And what he's talking about, if you have a decision that you need to make, if you have a plan that you want to follow, if you have a question in your own heart and you commit that to the Lord, wanting his will, right? I'm talking about righteous people who come before the Lord humbly, wanting God's will and God's mind. That verse tells us when you commit your way to the Lord, you know what happens? He will establish, not your steps, he establishes your thoughts. That's a wonderful, wonderful promise. You commit these things to the Lord. God, I don't understand this. How do I know if I'm being deceived by somebody? Lord, show me if I'm being deceived by somebody. You commit that way to the Lord. He's going to direct your thoughts. And what you have to do by faith is say, all right, what I'm thinking now with regard to that, the path that I'm going to take because of that, I have to believe is God directing my thoughts. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does. We're limited, but He is not. We can rest in that thought tonight. If you're a believer tonight, you may never have known this. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard it, but you have an unction. And now you should even know what that is. You have an unction. You have an anointing. It is the blessed Holy Spirit who indwells you. And He will give you the mind of God. That's the only way we can understand the truths of God's Word. But He will enlighten us to the Word of God, and He will give us discernment in our path. Rest in that tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do praise Thee for this wonderful gift that Thou hast given to us. Yes, Lord, we are limited. We are limited in our abilities, in our thinking, in our Bible knowledge, even in our ability to be able to stay true. But Father, thank the Lord, we have been given an unction. We have been given this unction. We have been blessed by this anointing, the Holy Spirit, who is inside of us, who teaches us, who directs us, who illumines us to the things of God. And Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst help us to lean more upon Him. Help us to walk in Thy precious Spirit, that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I pray, Lord, that we would yield to His guidance. Lord, I do pray that Thou wouldst give us a good week. Lord, we don't really know what to expect in this upcoming week. But I do pray, Father, that as we are still in isolation, as we are still in this lockdown in Connecticut, I pray, Father, that we would not dwell so much on that, but that we would use our free time to seek Thee out, to search Thee out, that we would have Thy mind, that we would not waste this time. But, Lord, it would be a time for us to grow closer to Thee. Help us to do that. Help us to be humble. Help us, Lord, to apply the things we learned in Psalm 34 about fearing the Lord, about keeping our lips from evil and from speaking guile. Oh, God, we just pray that Thou wouldst help us conform to Thee, that we would see great things accomplished by Thy hands so that Thou wouldst receive the glory. We love Thee, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' marvelous name. Amen.